All right, so we're diving into Judges again today, chapters 10 through 12 this time.
Looking at?
Yeah, kind of that period.
That's right.
Between Gideon, everybody knows Gideon, and Samson.
Big names.
Yeah, the big names, right? And we're working from Dr. David Howard's lectures on this. And he really gets into this idea of like minor judges.
Mm-hmm.
We've got these figures who show up. They're called judges. They're doing something.
Okay.
But it's not Deborah. It's not Gideon.
They're not leading armies.
No. So who are these people?
Yeah, it's like a little historical mystery, you know?
It is.
We have these names like Tola, Jair, judging for, you know, decades.
Decades, yes.
Yeah.
But we don't really know what they did.
Yeah, Tola's 23 years. All we get is like a genealogy.
Lineage.
Yeah, exactly. And then Jair's got his 30 sons, 30 donkeys.
Oh, yeah, 30 cities.
30 cities.
That number.
Like, what is that about?
I know. It pops up again later.
It does, right?
Ibzan marries off his 30 daughters to foreigners.
Oh, that's weird. It's interesting, right? Like, you've got to wonder about that. Like,
what's going on there?
What's the social?
Is it political?
Is it religious? What's going on?
Yeah, is this like a good thing? A bad thing? I mean, it seems like you could look at it both ways.
Right. You could see it as strategic.
Right.
Like, let's keep peace with our neighbors.
Alliances.
But then there's also this idea that intermarriage,
right,
yeah, is a threat to Israel's identity.
Right. And that comes up a lot in Judges.
It does, over and over again.
Yeah. So how does this fit into, you know, we're looking at the big picture here.
Right.
What's Israel supposed to be doing? What's their relationship with God? What's their relationship with their neighbors?
Yeah. And it might point to a theme that runs through these minor judges. Maybe they're not the epic
war heroes.
Military heroes, right.
Yeah.
But a different kind of leadership.
So not the outward conquering, but more
internal.
Yeah. What's going on inside?
Stability.
Yeah.
Day-to-day life.
Okay. So could we look at these stories then and get a picture of what normal life was like for Israelites back then?
I think so. Like, even just thinking about Jair and his 30 cities.
Yeah.
That means there was some prosperity.
Expansion
going on. So maybe they're focused on infrastructure, economics, things like that.
That's really interesting.
Even Ibzan marrying off his daughters.
Yeah.
You can learn something about the social customs, the politics.
So it's almost like instead of doing like battles and wars, we're like looking at like the fabric of society.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you get Jephthah. He just bursts onto the scene.
Oh, yeah. He comes out of nowhere.
And he's mighty warrior, the text says.
But
son of a prostitute.
Yeah. That throws you for a loop.
Yeah. So what does that even mean?
Right. Like, how does he rise to power?
Did people look down on him?
Probably.
Yeah.
He must have had to overcome some stuff to gain your trust.
Yeah, you don't usually see that, like God raised him up.
No, it doesn't say that about him.
He gets a bunch of worthless fellows, right? And he's on the edges of things.
It's like Abimelech.
Oh, yeah.
That power-hungry son of Gideon.
Yeah, and he's got his own little gang of, yeah.
So is Jephthah headed down that same road?
Ooh, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this complex figure, Jephthah, rises to power. And then, bam, the Ammonites.
They show up.
They want their land back.
Saying Israel stole it.
Yeah. But Jephthah, he's not just going to go fight them. He's got this whole speech.
Oh, yeah, this rebuttal.
He pulls out history.
Theology.
Yeah. Basically says, this land belonged to the Amorites. God gave it to us.
And he even name drops Chemosh and Molech.
Who are those?
The gods of the Ammonites and the Moabites.
So he's saying this isn't just about land.
It's about beliefs.
Yeah. Different ways of life.
Clashes.
I mean, this guy knows his stuff.
He does, right? History, law, theology, the whole package.
Was everybody back then, like, super smart?
You know, it makes you wonder.
Yeah, were they having these, like, theological debates all the time? We usually think of them as, you know, mostly oral culture.
Right.
But this is pretty sophisticated.
It is.
What do you think the average Israelite thought about all this?
Hard to say. Were they convinced by Jephthah's arguments?
Yeah. Did they think this whole war was a good idea?
Were they uneasy?
Good questions.
Yeah.
And then it all takes a turn.
With that vow.
Yeah, he promises God.
Whatever comes out of the doors of my house shall be the Lord's.
Yikes.
I will offer it up for a burnt offering.
Oh, man. That does not sound good.
No, not at all.
What did he think was going to come out? Like a goat?
Well, some people think he probably expected an animal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But the wording's kind of ambiguous.
Okay.
Like, was he open to something else?
Like a person.
Maybe.
And then
his daughter.
His daughter comes out.
It's just awful.
And that brings up this whole question of human sacrifice.
Right. Other cultures did it.
Trying to appease the gods.
But it was totally forbidden in Israel.
Yeah, so what's going on here?
Jephthah, I mean, you can tell from the text, he's devastated.
Yeah, I mean, what was he supposed to do?
Was he bound by that promise, even if it meant breaking God's law?
It's tough.
Some people say he could found another way.
To honor the vow.
Yeah.
But then you have that part about the daughters of Israel mourning for his daughter.
Every year.
Yeah. That points to a pretty tragic ending.
It does.
It makes you think, you know, about actions and consequences, especially when you're trying to control things.
Desperate.
Driven by fear.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder, how do we know what we're committing to?
That's a good question.
Yeah. How do our commitments line up with, you know, what God wants?
With our values.
Yeah.
What we believe.
We're going to keep digging into this.
We are.
Because this story's got a lot more to unpack.
It does. Absolutely.
So stay tuned. We'll be back with part two of this deep dive into Judges.
That vow, you know, I was thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like sacrifice is something we still deal with today. Right. Not burnt offerings.
No, not exactly.
But we sacrifice things all the time.
Our time, our energy.
The resources.
Yeah, for things we believe in, for the people we love.
Absolutely.
So are we doing it on purpose, though? Like, does it line up with what we actually care about?
That's the question.
Or are we just doing it because we feel like we have to?
Like, it's an obligation.
Yeah. Or everybody else is doing
it. Societal pressure.
Yeah. And Jephthah, I mean, he really messed up.
He did.
Made this promise without really thinking it through.
Desperate.
Yeah. Wanted to win so badly.
Didn't consider the cost.
And it makes me wonder, what do you do when you realize you've promised something and it's going to turn out bad?
Like you didn't see the consequences coming.
Yeah. But do you stick to your word no matter what?
Or try to find a way out.
Even if it means breaking a promise.
That's a tough one.
There are no easy answers.
No, but I think just the story shows us we need to be careful. Think things through before we commit.
Seek wisdom.
Exactly. And guidance.
Not just jump into things.
And grace. Yeah. We need grace for ourselves.
When you screw up.
And for others.
Because we all do, right?
We do.
But you know what gets me about this story?
What's that?
The daughters of Israel, they go out and mourn for Jephthah's daughter.
Every year.
Yeah. Like, they didn't forget.
No.
What does that tell you?
It tells me this was a big deal.
Yeah.
People were really affected by it.
Trauma. And they remembered it, passed it down.
Kept the memory alive.
Shaped their whole culture.
It's like our choices, they don't just affect us.
It's not just about us.
They ripple out.
Yeah, it's bigger than that.
To the people around us.
Future generations, even.
Exactly.
Which brings us back to those minor judges.
Okay.
We don't have these crazy stories about them.
But they're there in the text.
Yeah.
And they make us think about leadership differently.
You said maybe they weren't about the big battles?
Maybe not.
More low-key?
Huh.
What would that even look like?
Well, imagine a leader who focuses on keeping things stable.
Okay.
Making sure society runs smoothly.
Solving problems.
Peacefully.
Not going to war all the time.
Not necessarily.
But holding things together.
Building community.
Yeah.
Making sure people are taken care of.
So not about their own glory.
Right.
About serving others.
Exactly.
It's a different kind of legacy.
Not one of fame.
But a lasting impact.
I'm like community.
I like
that's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Especially today.
When everybody wants to be a rock star.
Right. The loudest voice in the room.
Yeah, maybe true leadership.
Is about the quiet work.
Behind the scenes.
Not seeking attention.
Hmm. It makes you think about the leaders we admire.
It does.
What do we value in them?
Do we want quick fixes?
Yeah, the tough guy image.
Or do we want someone who listens?
Yeah, who builds consensus.
Works slowly, patiently.
For the good of everyone.
It's something to consider.
Yeah, as we choose our leaders.
And as we lead in our own lives.
That was good.
Now, back to Jephthah for a minute.
Okay.
He shows us the dark side of leadership.
The ambition.
A bad decision.
Made out of fear.
Desperation.
He was good at strategy.
Oh, yeah. He could win battles.
But that vow.
It cost him everything.
His daughter.
And it led to more conflict.
Yeah, after the Ammonites, then he's got to deal with Ephraim.
Oh, they loved a good power struggle.
They're like, hey, why didn't you invite us to the party?
Yeah, like they were just waiting to jump in.
Classic Ephraim.
And it shows how fragile unity is.
Always fighting.
Even when they should be celebrating.
And then that Shibboleth incident.
Oh, that's a dark one.
Using language to kill.
They couldn't say the word right.
Ephraimites, yeah.
And Jephthah had them slaughtered.
Brutal.
It's like language should bring people together.
Yeah. It's how we communicate.
But they used it to divide.
And destroy.
It makes you think, what makes people turn on each other like that?
Even when they're supposed to be on the same side.
But how do we stop that from happening?
It's like we're still dealing with the same stuff today.
We are.
How to be unified. How to disagree without killing each other.
How to build a just society.
Maybe these old stories can help us figure it out.
They can give us perspective.
Show us what not to do.
And maybe what to do.
We can learn from their mistakes.
And their successes.
It's like looking into the past.
To see the future.
But it's not always pretty down there.
No, it can be messy.
Human nature.
You know? We all have that darkness inside us.
But that's the power of these stories.
They don't shy away from the truth.
The good and the bad.
The heroes and their flaws.
It forces us to look at ourselves.
At our own darkness.
And maybe, just maybe.
We can learn to do better.
I hope so. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here in Judges, chapters 10 through 12. What are, like, the big things you think people should remember from all this?
Well, you know, I keep coming back to this idea of leadership. Like, what does it really mean to be a leader? We always think about the big names, right?
Yeah, the conquerors, the ones who get statues built for them.
Exactly. But these minor judges, they challenge that whole idea. Like, what if there's another way?
Like Tola and Jer. We know they were judges for a long time, but, like, we don't know what they did. So does that mean they weren't effective leaders?
No, not at all. Maybe their strength was in a different kind of leadership. Maybe they weren't looking for fame. Maybe they were more focused on just, you know, keeping things running smoothly.
So instead of leading armies, they were leading communities.
Right. Creating a stable society, a place where people could actually thrive. That's a powerful legacy to leave behind.
Yeah. It's not about you. It's about what you can do for everyone else.
Exactly. It's like, you know, serving the community, not yourself.
It's making me rethink who I consider a good leader, for sure.
Right.
Okay. But then there's Jephthah. He shows us what happens when leadership goes wrong.
Oh, yeah. That vow, his daughter. It's a tough story. But it teaches us something important about responsibility, about thinking things through, making sure your actions line up with your values.
Like, don't let fear or, I don't know, just wanting to win so badly drive your decisions.
Right, because those decisions can have consequences, big ones. And sometimes those consequences hurt other people.
It's a tough lesson to learn, but a necessary one, for sure. And, you know, even though his story ends tragically, it makes you think about, like, forgiveness. Second chances. How do we as a community respond when people make mistakes?
Yeah, it's easy to judge, to point fingers. But we're all human, right? We all mess up sometimes. Maybe true leadership is also about, you know, offering grace, helping people pick themselves up and learn from their mistakes.
So we've got these quiet leaders like Tola and Jair. And then we've got Jephthah, who's definitely not quiet, but whose story teaches us a lot about the dangers of unchecked ambition.
And throughout all their stories, we see this constant struggle, this tension between unity and conflict.
Yeah, it seems like every time things start to go well, something happens. Somebody starts to fight. Someone gets jealous.
It makes you wonder, what's at the root of all this conflict? How do we break free from these cycles of violence?
I don't know. Big questions. Maybe it starts with remembering that we're all human. We all have the same basic needs, the same hopes and fears. Maybe it's about focusing on what unites us instead of what divides us.
Yeah, like finding common ground, building bridges instead of walls.
Well, I think that's a pretty good place to wrap things up. We've covered a lot of territory here in Judges 10 through 12. We've met some fascinating characters, explored different models of leadership, wrestled with some tough questions about faith and action.
And hopefully along the way, we've sparked some new insights, some new questions for our listeners to ponder.
Because ultimately, that's what this is all about, right? Engaging with these ancient texts, wrestling with their complexities, and maybe, just maybe, finding some wisdom and guidance for our own lives.
It's about more than just history. It's about understanding who we are, where we come from, and what it means to live a good life.
And on that note, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Judges. We'll see you next time.